Hello, ladies and gents, children of all ages. Welcome back to another episode of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast focusing on the solo career of Paul McCartney. I am one of your two co-hosts, Andy Nichols, and joining me today is one of the co-founders of Two Legs, and that is Mr. Tom Hunyadi. Good evening, Thomas. How are you?
I am great. How are you, good leg?
Good leg, one leg, whatever. Yeah, you know, I'm good.
The other leg.
Yeah. The other leg. Yeah, I'm well. Yeah. And yeah, here we are back. We're revisiting another countdown show. And then, you know, people love when we do our countdowns and top tens. And this week, we are going to do another pretty cool, and we're going to do closers. But before we get to the closers, we wanted to just touch upon a couple of quick news items regarding Paul. We know that June 15th, Paul will be speaking with Conan O'Brien in New York City at a storytellers thing in Tribeca at the OKX Theater, which is already sold out. And I had no desire to go because I know what it's going to be. But we do know that a few friends of the show are going to be there and or try to be there. So Joan Borelli and Kyle Hand, if you know, obviously we'll be in touch with you guys if you go and you're there. And we know Joan's going to be there, so we'll have Joan on. It's just more of the same. It's more of the same. And I know you feel the same way, right?
I do. You know, however, I mean, is he talking about his new picture book coming out?
Coming out in June.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, what else can he tell us that we, you know, that we haven't heard yet?
Appearance at the 92nd Y. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping Conan can do some, you know, do his research or his team do their research and, you know, ask better questions, ask more challenging questions, and not just, okay, well, tell us about this picture. You know, why, you know, what happened on this day? You know, I mean, I'm sure Paul's going to already have his stories ready to go, you know, what he wants to focus on, the pictures he wants to focus on, you know, and that's what's going to
be. It's going to be about the pictures. And if he's talking about pictures, maybe that's great because maybe we'll get some new anecdotes that he remembered or something. And, you know, it won't be the same old. He's not going to give a talk like he did at the 92nd Street Y. It'll be something, okay, maybe it'll be a presentation. They'll show these photos. It'll spark a memory, maybe one that we don't know yet, and he'll go into a nice little story. That would be a cool event. But,
absolutely.
You know, it's very exclusive, and, we'll get the recap from somebody who goes there. But that's in June to tie in with the book, which is rapidly approaching. Feels like that book announcement was a while ago, but we'll have that to show.
We'll have that to show in June. I'm sure we'll do a review on that book as well. I mean, it's been the camps have been quiet, right? I mean, this book is the first thing that's coming out from the five camps, right? I mean, except obviously Red Rose Speedway half Speedmaster, but this is like the first major release of the year. I mean, nothing John, nothing George.
And other than Ringo,
we're gonna get
a tour now.
We're going to get a new EP. Yeah, the tour, and then, you know, a new EP this year. You know, are we going to get Rubber Soul this year? You know, who knows?
We will. So, we will. Yeah. We didn't know, with this time last year, we didn't know about Revolver either, you know, so, but.
Well, I mean, in a way, but in an interview, he did say he did finish Revolver. So I think we knew that it was coming. We just didn't know when. Unfortunately, you know.
So yeah, it's been a quiet 5 months into 2023.
Thank God, because I got some picture sleeves here.
Well, I was just gonna say, let's do a little show and tell here. Thomas just got some really cool picture sleeves, and I believe a Holy Grail one that he's been looking for a long time. Yeah. So Thomas, show us what you got.
Well, you know, the Italians do good picture sleeves.
They do everything right. They do everything right. Come on.
Here's Good Night Tonight.
Whoa,
really cool. Yeah, now this image right here,
that's from Wonderful Christmas Time,
right? But it dominates just about every picture sleeve for this single. Okay, now it's just cropped. They're usually cropped differently. Okay,
gotcha.
So this image is pretty much dominates just about every Good Night Tonight 45. Okay.
Back we'll cover any image or no?
Same image.
Same image. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And those who like the, I'll show the label real quick. Those who like the
little closer, please. Little bit. There we go. EMI. EMI. Little. Okay.
Yes. Amy. Yeah. Amy. So we'll go to the Netherlands next, and we're looking at Letting Go.
Letting Go, man, with the
which,
the
yeah, this guy right here,
Jeff Britton. You don't see Jeff on too many picture sleeves.
Junior's Farm, and that's about it right there. So
Netherlands, Letting Go, with the of course Venus and Maz on the back.
Marks. Yes, sir. Okay. And that's on the Capitol. That's on the Capitol label.
The retro 50s label Capitol.
No, it's got the one we're used to.
The retro label.
All right, that's the one. All right, yeah. And then you got the red and yellow Venus and Mars, right there. Okay. Here's one you might like, and this is going to Spain. And this is London Town for the single London Town. Okay,
picture sleeve of London Town with the London Town. That's cool because you don't see that too often.
No, not too often. I mean, I'll show you another one here too that has the album cover as the picture sleeve cover. You know, but since the title track was the single, then you know, makes sense that you put the album cover on the picture sleeve. But so I'll show you that. So then too. So then I got from Italy is the Band on the Run 45.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the back there, I kind of like the font that they use for Band on the Run 1985.
In Italian. There. Yep.
Yeah. And then you got the apple right there.
A little close. Yeah. Cool. I see.
Yeah. I'll look a little closer.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, the Holy Grail. This one.
Let's
go. It's, yeah. And it's Letting Go. Okay. However, it's the picture sleeve is from 73. This is 73 Linda. McCartney.
Oh, that's the. Right, okay. So that's Linda. That's his Red Rose Speedway era.
Yeah, it's exactly. Red Rose Speedway. Unfortunately, it's got the little.
Little rippage there.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is the best condition I've seen one. So I'm really, really happy that I've got this now. Here's some other Spain.
Oh, and then they give you the whole more singles to get, like very much like the throwback to the Beatles, Capitol albums.
Exactly.
And what single do they show that you can get? Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Win. Really cool. Now you would think that Junior's Farm would be the last, Apple label you would see on a 45 from Paul. But actually Letting Go here from, this is Portugal, by the way.
Wow. Okay. So you're getting a Venus and Mars song on an Apple label.
Apple label. Yeah, exactly. And Italy, actually with Silly Love Songs has a Apple label as well. So they were still continuing on, even though Apple had dissolved, prior, a couple years prior, they were still, a few countries still were putting on the Apple label. On some of the 45s. So interesting.
That's it. MPL, you need to consult this man for your next 80-inch singles box set at 80 when the book is made on the singles, because you got to get Tom because he's got them all.
Yeah. Well, not all, but trying to. But this is just, I mean, when I saw this on eBay an auction, it was just like, I am not,
And it was only $5, right? It was only $5.
Exactly. It was only $5. Exactly. Thank you. Yes.
No, the tear on that is a shame. Yeah. But what are you gonna do?
It is. What it was is probably somebody had the price tag there or something, and because people,
back then it was from Italy, right? So it probably had a little sticker, 49 lira,
Portugal,
49 pesos. Yeah.
So sick.
Rip, gone. And as they had a little siesta afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a good score, brother. International singles that Tom has been on that rabbit hole with for a couple of years now, and scooping them all up as he gets them. Yeah. Impressive.
What was on that just ended, an auction that just ended, and I was really ticked off that, I didn't win it. It was the Choba 45 promo singles. So what they did was they took the 45 or the songs, turned them into 45.
Oh,
this is pre Run Double Run.
But it was kind of like what they did with All the Best.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh man, the amount it went for though.
How much?
I'm not gonna say.
Well, you didn't get it. You didn't spend it.
I know I didn't, but know, it went for over 200. I'll just say that.
All right. Wow.
You know, it's five singles. Yeah, five singles, you know, but they had, you know, the same image, different colors on the pitcher sleeves. Looked fantastic. And I'm going to have to get one of those one of these days. But
yes, those Run Devil Run and the all the best 7-inch singles box. I need those are the two holy grails, two leggers fans. If you see those on eBay or Discogs, please send a link my way. I have been trying for decades to get those. Decades. At least two.
They're a beautiful thing. Beautiful
Especially
thing.
The all the best one, which I know is super rare. You know, I'm still kicking myself over who? Oh, yeah.
John Blaney.
He's got one.
He has one. Oh, and he's up to, you know, he's talked about, writing the book. I said the writing is finished. Now he's just getting all the images together.
And, so those listeners and viewers that don't know, we're talking about John Blaney, who is the author of the series of books, Paul McCartney, the songs he was singing. And he's done these in a multiple different formats, like four volumes. He's done one in one volume, two. Yeah. And he's writing, much to the insistence of these two clowns on this show, to write a fifth volume. And he did it, and he's almost done with it. So, thanks, John. And he'll be on the show again when that book comes out. And that covers everything from from the 2000s, right?
From 10 to 20. 2010 to 2000.
Right, from 2000. Yeah,
or 19. What? Or 19. I think it's going to be 19.
So
10 years.
Right. So, okay. So that we have that to look forward to as well. In terms of the books. And God, there's been so much McCartney literature in the last 6 months to devour and read, isn't there? Isn't it crazy?
Yes. And there's more coming, which we'll talk more on a later episode. It's about time, though. I mean, look. I mean, for decades, right? I mean, there was these little books that we talked about in the past, right? I mean,
yeah, the little paperback, the little dollar store ones. Yeah,
exactly. And then finally, you know, we start getting a couple here and there in the 80s, right?
Salavic.
But again, three quarters Beatles, and then, you know, a quarter. Of it is solo.
One more thing before we dive into our topic tonight. Did you see or read, I know David sent this to us, but did you hear earlier this week about the mono mix of Paperback Writer and how you can hear the typewriter sounds at the end of it? Did you go back and listen to it?
No, but we did hear about it. Yeah. And I completely forgot to grab it and take it with me into the car. But
that you only hear on the
right
on the on the vinyl in the new button, and it's there. It's pretty interesting to hear that. But we did see it on the Hopfen form, and it's like
makes sense
to hear that.
Maybe they thought to do that, and then, you know, they put it in the mix. You know? That's great.
To hear that, just the end of Paperback Writer, hear the little, wild.
That's fantastic.
Still learning new stuff even over 50 years later, and that's why we love them. So for today, we are going to dive into our top 10 album closers. A couple episodes ago, we did our top 10 album openers. We think this will be fairly routine, fairly easy. Mm-hmm. I am sure out of the 10, we're probably going to match up on, I'm going to guess at least 4, maybe 5. Maybe.
Ooh.
We'll see.
Over under 5.
I'm going to, over. What do you say? What say you?
Well, I'll say over. I think we're going to match up on quite a few here.
Okay. All right. So, and again, you know, we're talking main canon albums here, not live, not classical, not Fireman. We're just going main canon albums.
Yeah, we're not doing links. We're not doing hidden tracks, right? We're not doing bonus songs.
We're going off the album proper. So if you're looking at your 1987 CD or your reissued CDs, we're not going with as the album properly ended, that's how we're going to go with it, you know? So, starting off at number 10, tell us what your number 10 was, Tom.
I will. Thank you very much. And the surprise of McCartney 3, right? When Winter Comes. This was an absolute surprise. I mean, I don't know too many people that knew about this song prior to its release. We're talking about Winter Bird, When Winter Comes. This was a fantastic gift from Paul. And either way, it was going to be here or on the Flaming Pie box set. I mean, I don't know if I what I would what which I would prefer, but I liked that it was on McCartney 3. I mean, again, that was a real gift. I mean, hearing those great vocals. I mean, obviously we know his vocals now are not what they were, but to hear it, those great vocals on a new McCartney record was just out of this world. And it's a good song. I really enjoy it. The, you know, they did Jeff Dunbar, I think, did a really wonderful animated video.
Yep.
For that song, and it's a fantastic track.
Certainly is, and good little another great album closer. Number 10 for me. We're gonna go with a kitchen sink type of song, and we're gonna go with Morse Moose and the Grey Goose from London Town, 1978. Nice. Nice. Love it or hate it, all everything in there. Kitchen sink. Talk about Morse code, then typewriter, boom, keyboards. Love everything about Morse Moose and the Grey Goose. Took a while for it to grow on me, but everything about it, you know. Paul screaming, you know, head on down to the bottom of the sea, tell me you ever see me, maybe it's more, all that. And then it goes to the other bit, you know, the Grey Goose was a steady boat, all that kind of sea shanty kind of stuff. So, and then it just ends. So I love it's definitely the antithesis. It's not a big London Town like type of track because it's different. So, but I love it as a closer. So that's more smooth. Number 10, number
it's
nine.
It's a great collaboration between Denny and Paul. You know, I mean, they were doing really good work. I mean, they hit their stride. I mean, by this point in time, I mean, they knew each other well. Right. And, you know, they were finishing each other's tracks. As Denny had said in an interview, so good pick.
It's the, you know, London Town's the apex of their relationship with their songwriting. Yeah. Clearly, after, you know, 7 years of collaboration. Number nine, Tom.
Number nine. We're going to Through Our Love. Nice track, really nice track. Maybe should have been a little bit higher, but it's for me, it's one of the best parts of the album, and was it Pipes of Peace. I think it's a great album opener and a great album closer. You know, it's what's in the middle really for me. That's not
I'm
all
get, I'm getting to you. We're working on it. Listen, but 3 years ago, folks, 3 years ago, folks, he hated the album. Now he likes it a little bit more.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes you go periods liking it and not disliking it and then liking it again. But, you know, going through this list and listening to songs again, you know, Through Our Love. I mean, is it a great closer of an album? I mean, that's debatable, but I think it works for this particular album. And I cherish the song. I really do.
And I do too, because it's my number nine as well.
There you go.
I think to your point about a closer, why it's a good closer, because it's got the big George Martin production finishes quality on it.
Yeah.
That's why it's got the big, you know, the orchestras and all that stuff built into it for a real big finish. And you know, in the middle of coming off the heels of Hey Hey, you know, and Tug of Peace, it's crappy. You know, those aren't good, you know, but, hell of a closer of a track. And they even say that there's a little bit of a Morse code in that song. If you listen to the beginning of Through Our Love with the strings, listen to the beginning they've said that is Morse code for some, I guess for love, or I think it's for peace, actually. Maybe somebody can clarify. I read that somewhere, that the beginning strings you hear in the beginning of Through Our Love is Morse code for peace. I don't know, though.
Right.
That's my number nine as well. Number eight for Tom.
All right, we'll talk about production again, you know, as we, you know, mentioned for these ballads or whatever. So I'm going to go with Venus and Mars. We're going to go Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People. It's a song I've always cherished. I like that it closes the album. And I mean, I know we get the little whatchamacallit afterwards, the little jingle, Crossroads. Right. Yeah, which I don't count as the album closer. Again, that's the
No, but it is though. It is.
Yeah, but I don't.
When you bought listen to Venus and Mars 1975, that's now the album closed. That. I know what you're saying though. It's not a real song. It's a. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So I'm just I'm discounting
Count it.
the
Yeah.
Crossroads, and I'm going with Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People. It's our show, we can make our own rules.
Amen.
I love the Treat Her Gently part more than I like the Lonely Old People part, but again, it's a beautiful track, well sung, and production wise it's great as well. So I'm going Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People.
At number eight, another great example of Paul taking two songs and making them one song,
Yeah, there you
which he
go.
does, so much in his career, and that's an early example of one of those. Good pick, number eight for me. A song that Tom likes to use to close our shows with, and that's "Great Day" from Flaming Pie. Track number 14 on Flaming Pie, much in the vein of "When Winter Comes," that same kind of vibe to close out an album with a little bit of a acoustic homespun ballad to send you off into the night or the day after you've listened to the 45 minutes or an hour of worth of music. "Great Day" is a song that's had lasting impact for me to listen to it after the hugeness of Flaming Pie, and a couple of songs that are not. I mean, it follows "Beautiful Night," which is tremendous. So "Beautiful Night," "Great Day," so it works out really well. And it closes a classic album. So it's got to be on a top 10 closer list, in my opinion. "Great
Yeah,
Day."
no, I, yeah, and I'll say my piece on it in a couple minutes,
I'm
but
sure you will. Let's hear your number seven.
number seven, it's a song I didn't care for as a closer, but I really come to appreciate it now because we're, over the past few years, I've listened to this album more and more as we're anticipating an archive release for it. We're crossing our fingers at least, and that's Baby's Request. Again, I think it's an appropriate album closer, and I really dig the song more. I love the track, just the line, just one more song and then we'll go to bed. I love that line, and it kind of like fits, closing a track. And I get it. I mean, for a while there, I'm like, what is, this kind of like crooner song is closing an album, and but when you really listen to it lyrically, I think it fits, and I think it's a fantastic album closer now these days.
Bum, 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 bum. Good pick, partner. Good pick. I had a feeling you might pick that one. I did. Number seven for me. I'm gonna go maybe with one that's not so obvious. I'm gonna go all the way up to 2005. I'm gonna go to "Anyway" from Chaos and Creation in the Backyard. Thinking about closing tracks, and sometimes that's there's another one where it's two. You got "Anyway," and then a kind of hidden track with the "I Only Have Two Hands" bit. I'm not counting that. I'm just gonna count "Anyway" as the main song. A lot of people think that it's a reworking of "People Get Ready," which I can hear similar. Do you hear that or no?
Maybe. I mean, honestly, I don't give it much thought, to be honest with you.
No, I. It's not often where Paul does close his albums with big ballads. He has before, obviously, with "Through Our Love" that we talked about. So when he does, it's either like big ballads or it's little acoustic stuff or something like "Moore Smooth and the Grey Goose" or like "Moore Smooth and the Grey Goose" or "Queen of Corre," where they're really, really like far out type
Yeah,
closer. You've
far
got
out.
those categories, right? Those acoustics or ballad or big ballads. This is one of the big ballads. Which I think it's a great try anyway, and I love the lyrics of it. I love how it builds, big crescendo, and then you think the song's over, and it's not, and it goes right into this whole big instrumental thing towards the end of the, which is not listed on the CD at all. Did "Anyway" make your top 10?
No, it did not. No, it's
All right,
not. I was
good.
actually surprised you picked that song, and that's great. It's good that we have, different stuff.
A
But
few,
I love that.
a few
Yeah, a
differences,
few.
but not too many. But "Anyway" from Chaos and Creation in 2005, and number seven for me, six for you.
Six for me is you mentioned it already, "Great Day." For the longest time, I wish the two tracks were reversed, "Beautiful Night" and "Great Day." I've come to accept "Great Day" as a really, really strong album closer. And you're right. I mean, the acoustics of it, and the I love, you know, Linda's backing vocals on it, and it's a fun little track. I think it's a great way, a good, nice, positive, you know, way to end a very strong album from Paul. And I think we all should, you know, look at songs like these and just, you know, aspire to be, you know, have a great day. You know,
and great, and to have a great, to always have a great day. And when you listen to it in the context of Paul and Linda, and especially when you watch the video footage from the In the World Tonight documentary, and Paul and Linda singing Great Day, and she's harmonizing with him, you know, and she's dying, it's pretty moving, you know.
Yes.
So he's trying his best to have a great day, what he's going through. So the song takes even on more than just a song.
When you put it in that perspective, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. So yeah. I knew you would have that in there somewhere.
Yeah. Eric Idle said, you know, you got to look on the bright side of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Number six for you. Number six for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay a little more modern, McCartney. I don't know how modern it is, even though it's 10 years old. I'm going with the ending track of 2013's New Road, which I absolutely love as an experimental track in the vein of Morse Moose. I love the ending track on New Road. I think I think what Paul does in that track, the vocals, the pianos, dun, 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 dun. It's a very dark song. His vocals are really obscured. They almost sound like they're muffled when you're listening to it. You know, we came from nowhere, and it's like running down a street or something, you know, listening to Road, right? That's what it sounds like when you listen to it. And it's Paul doing something totally different outside of his comfort zone.
I agree. Totally different. It's more like a falsetto voice in that one too, isn't it?
At times, yeah. He starts out low, then he'll go high with it, you know. So and it has a really big finish. So Road to me is one of the best songs of Paul's last 20 years, which I think we've talked about when we did that. And it's easily a top 10 closer for me. Number six, Road. I guess you didn't have it in your top 10.
No. No, and I'm just like, yeah, this is great. Awesome.
Well, listen to it again. See what you think. Yeah. That was six for me, five for Thomas.
All right, top five. Well, you talked about this track earlier. I mean, this is a head scratcher. You know, first time you listen, I would love to see people's reaction to the song the first time they heard it as an album closer.
More smooth.
Yes, sir. Morris Moose and the Grey Goose is my number five. I mean, it's almost like, you know, head scratching, like, you know, at the 76 tour with him ending with Soily. You know, it's a, you know, it's a great rocker, but you're gonna end it with something, you know, nobody's familiar with. And you have that, you know, this feeling with, I mean, you're not familiar with anything with this track, although with this, you know, it's really raspy vocals in there. I cherish that. You know, but yeah, I mean, you talked about, you know, the track earlier, and I thought it's fantastic. I've really come to love it, especially, you know, as when you first started, one of the first albums we talked about was London Town, I believe. And then you had that, you know, obviously you had that big, the poster in your old home, you know, and it's, album. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So again, as we're, you know, anticipate, you know, the possible release of an archive, you know, release for this album as well. Again, London Town and Back to the Egg are two albums that I've really, really come to love even more over these last, you know, 5-6 years that I've been doing the show.
Yeah, it's a great pick, and I'm glad that we both had it, because it's such an awesome track. 6.5 minutes long. You know, you just listen to mostly an hour of low key, folky, chill, late 70s synth, happy, poppy stuff with an occasional rock or so. And then you get to the end of that and you go, especially after a song like Don't Let It Bring You Down, which is really like mellow. And then you hear that, and you hear that song, and you're like, whoa, it's like a left turn. Whoa.
Right.
No. So that cracked your top five. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent.
Really love it. Yeah.
Excellent.
Really like
excellent. Five for me. Again, in the vein of in the vein of Great Day, and then and When Winter Comes, I'm going to go with 1980's One of These Days from McCartney 2. Yeah, as my co-host smirks, either it's either next or it's his number one. It's one of those two things. I don't know. But it's either his next track or it's his number one. One of These Days is, again, you've just listened to McCartney 2, full of experimental music, synths, crazy stuff, and then you hear a nice gentle ballad. It's like the reverse of London Town, right? It's the total reverse of London Town. You know, London Town was calm, crazy song at the end. McCartney 2, crazy, mostly all crazy stuff, and then you hear a really nice gentle ballad called One of These Days. You know, it's there, it's now, it's to be found by you, by me. Yeah. With Linda providing, you know, really kind of very lightly backing vocals on it, which are just awesome to die for. It's all we ever wanted to be, you know, and then it just fades out, you know, and it is the perfect album closer. And let's see where it is on your list.
It is number four.
It was next. I knew it.
It was next. See What's Right, See What's There, and Breathe Fresh Air, Ever After. You know, very poetic, very again, kind of like, you know, maybe Great Day a little bit, or When Winter Comes, you know, Dear Friend, you know, something so soft, subtle. You know, it's a beautiful, again, I think it's another, you know, uplifting, positive track. You know, one of these days when my feet are off the ground.
Hey, that's right over there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to look around and see. I adore this song.
The bridge, really, the bridge especially. Yeah. It's there. Yeah. It's round. It's to be found by you, by me. Yeah. It's all we ever wanted to be. Boom. Right. What a great bridge. What a great bridge.
And again, you know, thanks to, you know, I got to thank the archive release of this album.
Why?
You know, well, because I mean, you know, listen, McCartney 2 was something I never played a lot of. Okay. So when the archive release comes out, you know, and then get reacquainted with the album.
But did you know the song One of These Days before 2011?
Yeah. I mean, I listened to the, I had the album. Okay.
Okay. Again, so it's like you knew it. You knew it.
I knew it, but I just didn't pay attention to it. Right. It was just like another one of his soft little ballads, you know, and, you know, when the archive release comes out, and I really started paying attention to it. And it's beautiful. It's awesome. It's excellent. Great closer.
Awesome closer. One of his best. And that's why, not surprisingly, it was in both of our top fives. Number four for me, Tom mentioned it one, two, three, four, five songs ago. I have it a little bit higher. And that's the closer. And Treat Her Gently, which, again, I'm going against myself because we said Crossroads. But I know what you were saying. And there's a reason why I have Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People on there as well. After the hugeness of Listen to What the Man Said, you know, Tom Scott wonderfully playing that, you know, the sax on that and going out to it, and then fading right into Treat Her Gently. And I do agree with you. The Treat Her Gently bit is a lot better than the Lonely Old People bit. Treat Her Gently is one of his strongest. And in fact, if you have the 1974 bootleg, the piano tape, there's a really raw, raunchy demo of him just hammering away on Treat Her Gently. Real, just banging it out on the piano. Treat her gently, treat her kind. It's not lonely. He doesn't have Lonely Old People yet. It's just hearing him sing Treat Her Gently. And that's the kind of stuff that was missing from the archive. Even though the Venus and Mars archive gave us a lot of, you know, good value for dollar, things like that would have been awesome on there.
Things like that are missing from the archives, period.
You know, gotta go YouTube it. Go YouTube the Paul McCartney piano tape from 74. Mm-hmm. You've got Million Miles on there, Mull of Kintyre. I'm sure you've heard some of it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, isn't I'll Give You a Ring on there as well?
I'll Give You a Ring is on there too. Yeah. Right. So to hear him just hammering away a beautiful melody like Treat Her Gently, you know, and then pairing it up with Lonely Old People, which is good, but it's not nearly as good as Treat Her Gently. You know, I do like to hear We Sit, Two Lonely Old People, Nobody Asked Us to Play, you know, and then boom, fade out. Ending really, I mean, in a lot of ways, sometimes I think it's the Wings LP that I listen to the most, even though I know that's not true. But ending Venus and Mars, which is just, you know, so iconic and such a great closer, which is why I put it at number four. number three for you.
Number three. You know, everybody thinks this is the response to How Do You Sleep? Not necessarily so. Even though it came out afterwards, this was more of a response to all
recorded
of
before the it press. Though.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. This was more of the, you know, the press fighting. You know what? There's the war of words in the press. So this dear friend is more of a, you know, statement. Say, hey, you know, why are we doing this kind of thing? You know, let's, you know,
it's them doing
or
it.
Or is it true?
It's them doing
or
it.
Is it true?
Or is it
yeah,
true?
It's true. Yeah. Which again, I mean, you know, how do you analyze that lyric? Alone, you know, or is it true?
It's a song. What go ahead, keep going.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, what is it that's true? You know, dear friend, you know, pour the wine. I'm in love with a friend of mine. You know, again, it's, you know, we get to interpret what we think it means. But again, we know it's about John because he's talked about this as a
and he has
as a response to all the fighting in the press.
But it wasn't a response to How Do You Sleep because it predates that.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I got to say, partner, good pull at really high ranking. Yeah. I didn't even have this in my top 10 at all. Really good pull. Mm. It's for a song that's, what, six and some odd minutes,
yeah, it's
right?
A little long. I mean, you could probably cut a good minute and change.
Right. Now, and the lyrics are very sparse. You know, dear friend, what's the time? Right. Is this really the borderline? Does it really mean so much to you? Yeah. Are you afraid or is it true? Like you said, throw the wine. So it's lyrically, it's not that, but there's so much into
very it. Very vague. You know, very... except for the, is it true? I mean, what, you know, that is what interests me so much about this song is like.
Does it really mean to, so much question? To you? Are you afraid or is it true? And yes. Nobody really picked up on that in 71 and wrote about it. And nobody took the ball and said, oh, he's talking about John here. Nobody said that. Yeah. Listen to me like we were alive. I'm sure people felt that, but it wasn't written about. Now you had a really nice version of this come out in 2018 with the orchestra up, which was Richard Houston's orchestration, which you had, I believe it was a digital download from McCartney's site. It wasn't included with the box
that's
set.
True. That's right.
It wasn't on the archive, but you had to download it, but it was an orchestra up version of Dear Friend to hear a little bit more orchestration on it. See, everybody thinks because he orchestrated Long and Winding Road, Paul just 86'd him. Not true. He brought him back.
Not true at all. Exactly.
he brought him back. Good choice, partner.
Well, he brought him back before that. He brought him back for Thrillington.
He did, which was someone, as we now know from reading the McCartney Legacy, he brought him back again. So everybody thinks, oh, he the guy that did orchestrate Long and Winding Road, Paul. No, he did. Paul's issue was with Phil, not the orchestrator, because Phil was the guy in charge.
Exactly. I mean, you know, Richard didn't know that Paul didn't want that.
Phil Spector calls up Richard Houston and says, can you come in and do this? He's going to go, okay, he's not talking to Paul McCartney. So why? It's just cool that Paul didn't really hold a grudge against him because he was just, you know, he was a hired gun. And Paul knew that he was good. And then he was just, you know, following, you know, a clown, basically. Although, Strings on Long and Winding Road is still the better version. Sorry. Yes. Number three for me. We're going into big gun time.
This is it, right?
Heavy guns. Heavy and I'm hitters. Sure. I think out of the top three, you and I are going to match on two of them. Okay. And this one is the closer to Band on the Run, 1985. Maybe it's Tom's number one. Probably is.
You see.
1985, wonderful bookend to Band on the Run thematically. You know, as we read in the McCartney Legacy, it was really not much of a – it wasn't really much lyrically, you know, but then it evolved. And I believe it was a song that really got worked on in London after they came back from Lagos. It was not really done down there from my reading Alan's book. They did it when they came back to finish the album up in EMI in probably, I want to say, September or October of 73 and got the album ready to go. So I think that's when they finished it. And, I mean – again, lyrically, it doesn't have a whole lot. You know, no one left alive in 1985. Will ever do. She may be right. She may be wrong. But it works. It's a very cinematic piece, full of orchestration. You know, all the big stuff. Again, it's got that George Martin kind of feel to it, even though George isn't on it. Big crescendo, big finish. You know, but just to hear that opening piano keyboard, dun, 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 it really sets the mood for the whole piece. And one of the best album closers of all time at number three. Two for you.
Speed Along the Highway, Honey, I Want It My Way. The closing
Oh.
of Ram. The back seat of my car. If you do not like this song, I just don't understand it. I mean, look, I mean, this is what people were expecting from Paul McCartney. I mean, this kind of a song, I think, you know, we got McCartney right. I think people were confused by it. Except for, you know, maybe I'm amazed, obviously. But then you hear, you know, Ram, and you hear this. I mean, this is Abbey Roadish. I mean, don't you think? I mean, this is just
100%.
top tier McCartney production wise singing. Now, I think it does go a little long. I mean, you got
No
the
way.
Lord of the you got the, you know, the 20 Lord of the Ring endings, you know, going on in this with this track, you know. But you know, maybe it could be just a touch shorter. But I think this is an absolute gem of a track. I think it's a gem of a closer, and this is just, I mean, pure Paul McCartney, pure McCartney, as they say. Everything about
Oh.
this track, you know, love
Oh,
the
man.
ending, we believe that we can't be wrong. I mean, what are you kidding me? I mean, that's great. It's phenomenal.
Well,
Love it.
and you know, that could be another subtle dig. Lennon thought it was. Lennon thought
Oh,
it
Lennon,
was.
well, I mean, well, he thought the whole album was about it. It should have been. He probably thought, oh, she might as well just call it John.
Not
The
Ram.
ramp.
I
Yeah.
know. I know.
Yeah.
It's everything about it from the start, the beginning, the strings, the piano playing, his singing on it, you know, the falsetto. We believe that we can't be wrong, you know, and then all that goes on to it. And then you think it's over and then it's not. I kind of like the fake out ending. I think it's over. Oh, it's not. And then you hear this kind of like gunshot drum sound, boom, boom, you know, and then there's a screaming shout out to finish and Ram is over. And it's like, mic drop. See you later. Bye. Seriously. It's not my number two, but I'll get to it. But my number two is the medley from Red Rose Speedway.
Yes, of course.
We're talking about album closers.
I know, but here I am expecting that to be your number one.
No, it's not my number one. It's my number two. The medley, I don't have to say enough. You know, people that watch Two Legs and listen to the show know that I love the medley. Hands of Hold Me Tight, Lazy Dynamite, Hands of Love, Power Cut, I think is some of the strongest melodies, songwriting, craftsmanship ever done. And I know there's people out there that agree with me, and there's people that don't. And I, since 1990, when did I buy the CD? Three, I have felt this way. I have felt this way since 1993 when I bought it at Tower Records in Greenwich Village, New York City. I remember buying it. I still have the receipt. And I remember listening to it going, this is the best thing I've ever heard. This is the best thing I ever heard. I felt that way at how I was 12. I was 12. It was 30 years ago. I still feel the same way. But it's not my number one. But I know it's not on your list. Number one for you.
It's not on my list. This is right. So you don't mind the repetitiveness of hold me tight, hold me
Nope.
tight. I mean, no, okay.
No, because it goes on for about 2 minutes. Hold me tight, love me tight, boom, and then you're into another song. Just before it wears you out, hold me tight, hug me tight. And I know that might sound, but then it's, you know, and then boom, hold me tight, boom. And then again, that actually starts going. You won't be going out tonight. And then I think it's great.
Fantastic.
He's like,
You
yeah.
do. I know you think it's great, and I love that. I respect that.
Let's
Okay.
hear it.
For me, there's only one number one. As much as I love the backseat of my car, I mean, for me, this is the perfect album closer because it ends where it starts, and that's 1985.
Okay.
I love this track. It might, as much as I love No Words, I mean, this might be my favorite track on the album. Again, like you said, I mean, it's not much lyrically, but musically, oh my God, it's a powerhouse of a track. And then you listen to that ending, and you got some really nice little guitar licks going in there while it's building, it's building and building, like you said. And then it crashes, and then you go, "Man on the Run," you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Kind of ends like a concept album when it's not really a concept album, right. You know? So.
Wow, band on the run. I mean, come
on. Exactly. Yeah. I think this is, I think it's the only logical number one, in my opinion. You know, I know obviously you're going to have something else as number one. Hopefully it's something that have. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see how many songs we shared here.
Well, I've been keeping score. I've been keeping score.
Yeah, so. I know you do. I know you have, my friend. I know you have. So, but yeah, exactly. There's just I love that that opening piano
riff,
bit. I love when he plays it. Yeah, I love when he plays it live. It still works for me. It's still like the song. It's one of the very few songs that still on Band on the Run that still works for me. I still can get off on that track. You know what I mean? I mean, as great as Band on the Run is, I know we get tired of it. You know, but it's, we know it's phenomenal, right? What are the other great tracks on that? Jet. You know, Jet again. It's another track that I still really, really appreciate. Okay, but I mean, if I don't hear it for another year, I'll be fine. But 1985, I'll listen to that song the vocal stylings of Paul McCartney on that song, off the charts.
He was doing a little more whoa whoa whoa's than that, but a little bit differently than My Love. You know, whoa,
yeah.
A little bit different than whoa 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 whoa, yeah. Like My Love, but like, great song, and so cool. And thank God he put that back into his set list around 2012. Thank God that came back into the set list, which I think was the first time he did that. Might have been that 12/12/12 concert, I think, or maybe right before that. But I remember around that time. I'm like, he's playing 1985. Next time he's in New York, I gotta go. Awesome pick. I knew it was gonna be there. My number one, you already mentioned it. It was your number two, Backseat of My Car. Because it was my number, when we did our top 101, it was my number one. It was my number one.
Right. Yeah.
So you said it all. The Beach Boys influence, the harmonies, Linda's work on it. You know, it builds up. It starts off slow as a slow ballad, then it builds up, and then it goes back to the ballad and goes back, you know, and then builds, and again, builds up. We Believe That We Can't Be Wrong, and it goes into all that for a long, long, long time, you know. I can't have much to add on to it because you said it all, but the closer on Ram, Backseat of My Car. I think he knew it was a great track to close it with it. Again, one of those awesome, what did get a single release in only the UK.
UK single, yeah.
UK single release, one of those, that's one of those magical songs that would be a great, like, to see in a set list. You know it's never going to happen, but if it could, it would be great. You know, some of these big ones that were, wasn't a huge single. It was only, in the UK, how did it do off the top of your head? Do you remember?
Yeah, no, not off the top of my head, but it wasn't a hit. It wasn't a hit.
But I mean, you know, bravo to include it as a UK single because it's an incredible track.
Now I need to check it out.
Check it out real quick as we wrap up. But Backseat of My Car, the teenage stuff. You know, the sitting. You know, here we are, just busy riding.
Us Against the World.
Yeah, very much him and Linda. You know, because that was it's just the two. You know, again, so big in the dust up of the Beatles breaking up to that's what did it do?
Peaked at number 39.
So top 40.
Yeah.
Top 40 track. And a great song. And Backseat of My Car, number one. So I had it at one, you had it at two. So
That's great. You know, that's great. I love that you had it that high.
So that is our top 10 album closers, folks. Let us know in the comments. Give us your 10 album closers. What did you agree with ours? What did you disagree with ours? Probably many of mine. That's fine. Used to that. So just let us know what your top 10s were. Thomas, tell us what's new in Talk More Talkland and anything else that you might be doing.
Yeah, thank you. We had a really interesting chat this past Monday, and it's something we've been talking about for a while, and we really didn't know how to present it, but we're just like, screw it, let's just do it, throw it on the wall and see if it sticks. And it was it's called Is the Sum Greater Than the Parts? And it's more or less, you know, we talked about the solo career. You know, Andy, you have mentioned before, you know, there's these people that they're the Beatles and they're just Beatles, right? They don't give a hoot about the solo careers. They just want, you know, Beatles. And that's this kind of show. The show was kind of, you know, directed towards them, you know, trying to say, look, I mean, there are tracks that are just as great, right, as Beatle tracks.
Yes.
Now, are there albums just as good as Beatle albums? You know, that's debatable.
Sure.
But there's a lot of great tracks out there that can rival or surpass Beatle songs. You know, I think Maybe I'm Amazed is as good as any Beatle song, period. Right? You know,
yep.
There's a lot of tracks. My Sweet Lord. I mean, that's just as good as any Beatle track, in my opinion. You know,
Jealous Guy.
Jealous Guy, there you go. There's plenty of tracks. So that was a really fun conversation.
Yeah, no, it's true, and I've said that. I just feel, having gone to a few fests in the last few years,
right.
No, there's a lot of people just go, they're just Beatles people. They don't want to know anything about the solo
right.
at all.
And the music in that lobby, you know, what are they playing? They're only playing Beatles songs.
That's it.
They only play Beatles songs. You know, they don't play solo anything. It's all Beatles. And I understand that it's best for Beatles fans. I get that. But you know what? They had, you know.
There's a lot of music you're missing out by four people
right.
that are pretty damn talented.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And then I'm working hard. We're really working hard in getting a movie channel going. And, you know, every time I come up with a new name for it, I look on YouTube to see if someone has it. And you know. And it's already taken. You know what I mean? So I'm really struggling right now with what to call it. And, you know, I'm hoping to you know, get it going. I'm probably going to postpone. I was hoping this weekend, but we got a lot going on the next week. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to postpone getting it up until next week. And, you've seen The Room. I'm thinking a film fanatic. You know, so really hoping to
more
get that
movies
going.
than records, folks. Believe it or not,
yeah,
he actually has got more films than albums
yeah.
and CDs, and I can attest to it.
So yeah, I mean that's what's going on right now. But you've been a very busy person lately, and you just did another appearance on Ken Michael's Radio YouTube channel, and it was a really fun show.
Yeah, different kind of show. Ken Michaels invited me and Dylan Seavey, who's a friend of our show and collaborator and contributor to our music, along with Jeff Slate, New York City musician, journalist. And we did a podcast or a show on Ken's channel about the relationship between the Beatles and Bob Dylan, which we thought would be just one episode, but clearly it needs to be at least two, maybe three. Who knows? And we just did this last night. We're recording this on Wednesday. We did it on Tuesday. And it's already on Ken's channel. And we spoke for about an hour and a half. And I was kind of the newbie, you know, because I've only been really down, really deep with Dylan for the last 5 years. Only really hardcore, casual before that. But I've spent the last 5 years reading every major biography, watching every film, and listening to every album, buying every album. So...
No Direction Home, I'm sure.
Scorsese.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Great
film,
fantastic.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, do you have that? Does there that get a Criterion? Do you have that or no?
No, it's not on Criterion, but yeah, I do have it. Yeah.
You do have regular
yeah.
Blu-ray?
Yeah.
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 So it was great. I mean, and Jeff Slate, if you don't know, look him up. He actually conducted an interview with Bob Dylan last year to promote the songbook that Bob put out. Autobiography of the song of the modern song, and it was great. It was a great conversation. You know, Dylan Seavey and Jeff they've worked with Bob, and Dylan Seavey has adored Bob since childbirth. So those guys really know their stuff. I kind of was just like, hey, I'm watching, but I really enjoyed that interview, and it was a hell of a lot of fun. And that's all over on Ken Michael's Radio YouTube channel. Give that a look. Other than that, and I also was on his trivia show, I think 2 weeks before that, and I I'm going to be on that again to defend my title. So we'll see who that's going to be against. And other than that, that's it. You know, I have.
I do have a question for you. Are you, being the Yes fan you are, you giving the new album a listen?
I'll give it a listen on streaming, and then I'll determine. You know, I saw a headline today that said it's the best Yes album in 25 years. I'm like, okay.
I'll be the judge of that.
We'll see about that. I listen. Yeah. I listened to the two tracks that came out. They sound really good. They sound really. They sound good. But when that vocalist starts singing, he just sounds like John Anderson, and that's kind of where I get off the train a little bit. It's just hard for me. Musically, it sounds awesome, but you know, to hear a carbon copy of Anderson when the real guy is still out there kicking butt, it's tough. You knew they were releasing a new album?
Oh yeah. I mean, you can't miss it on Facebook. I mean, you know, you follow certain people, you know, who also like, you know, that genre, the prog scene.
Right.
And, of course I knew it was coming out.
Yeah. Mirror to the Sky. So I have some Yes related content on my other channel, Andy's Music Vault, The Other Leg. I did an interview with Kevin Mulrine, who wrote a whole book on just the Tormato album, which is also coming out May 19th. And he joined me for a chat a few Sundays ago. That's up on my channel. And I also interviewed the drummer of local Yes tribute band, Total Mass Retain, a friend of mine called Joe Cass, and he's a real connected guy, knows the band very well, and you know, he's in their inner circle, and he was great. And he went to the shows that I went to see John Anderson with the Band Geeks, and they're both up on my channel as well. So yeah, I've been pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've been getting into a little bit of a Van Morrison kick now. There's his three albums, not his first album with Brown Eyed Girl, but his Astral Weeks. Moon Dance, and his choir band, I think it's called. I can't remember at the moment. But those three albums I absolutely adore. I did pick up another one called St. Dominic Preview, which had the hit Jackie Wilson Said, which is, you know, a great single for him. But the rest of the tracks are far out. And I'm just going to discover more Van Morrison. I'm going to Van Morrison kick right now, so I'm really going
to
look into
it. It's great. Switching off to other artists and genres is it. That's what it's about. That's why we're able to do what we do. You know, you find other artists, you spend down a few weeks or a few months or a year down the rabbit hole, you know, and then you learn more. Like I did with Harry Nilsson about a year ago. I did the same thing with him. So
right.
You know.
Which, if you haven't seen that documentary on him, you got to see it. And I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Now it's on Prime. It was on Netflix. Who is Harry Nilsson? Why is everybody talking about him? Tremendous documentary. What a forgotten star, you know, and really, you know, missed out on a lot of due credit. But he gets in that documentary, so check that out. But that's going to do it for us here this week on Two Legs. For Tom Hunyadi, I'm Andy Nichols. We will see you next week for episode 208, which is going to be a very fun one. We're not going to tell you, but we're going to have another guest author on with us. Talking about a really cool book. She's written a lot of books, and we're going to be talking about a very specific period and an era in Beatles and Paul history, and we'll have that next week for you on our show. So for Tom, I'm Andy. We will see you next time. See ya.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.